As I get started this morning, I need a volunteer up front. So if somebody would like to come forward, help me out with something, I would appreciate it. Come on down, Brent.
You had to sit the furthest distance away, right?
Anything I do help, Chris.
All right, thank you.
So, you know, I'm going to assume this morning that most of us at some point in our lives played the game, you know, follow the leader, right? Everybody heard of follow the leader? Yes. No, come on. It's not going to be that bad. But does anybody remember Simon? All right, so.
And this was Jan's idea that instead of like showing it to you that we actually have somebody to play it, so. There you go, Brent. Come on.
What?
You follow, have you ever played Simon?
No.
Follow the pattern.
Okay.
Follow the leader.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
So Simon is 45 years old, right? It came out in 1978, right? It's an electronic game of memory skill. The device, you know, as we saw, it creates sounds and patterns, and we've got to imitate them, right? And it gets a little bit more complex. It gets a little faster, and the idea is to continue on until you can't go any further. Simon is not a very popular game anymore. You know, perhaps it's just not as it's older and not very flashy, but perhaps, right, we don't like to be told what to do. And it's somewhat like in our world today, sometimes some people feel this way about Jesus. And they think Jesus is cool, Jesus is all right, but that the Bible is this outdated relic that is against, right? It really isn't about the revealed Christ, that Jesus is about love and acceptance, but the Bible, in their eyes, is a book full of outdated rules and judgment. And so there'll be people outside of the church that pit Jesus against the Bible, and there's almost this struggle within Christianity, this relationship between Jesus and the Bible. Now, how do we faithfully interpret the Bible while maintaining that Jesus is at the center of our faith? How do we read not just about Jesus, but how do we follow what Jesus is saying? How do we apply what Jesus says? How do we follow the leader? So with that in mind, let's read this morning's scripture taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Be to God. You know, the first thing that John tells us about the Son of God is that the Son of God is eternal. That Jesus is eternal. Jesus has been there since the very beginning. There was never a time where Jesus was not. And though he's called the Son, Jesus was never not in existence. And Jesus is co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Son of God did not begin his existence in Bethlehem. Right, the human form, the fully God, fully human, the indwelt, the Emmanuel Jesus began in Jerusalem. But Jesus has always existed. Yeah, this is when Jesus took the form of a human form in Bethlehem for the purpose of giving his life as a ransom for us. And Jesus is eternal. Secondly, John affirms that Jesus was God or is God. And so there's no confusion as to what Jesus was writing or what Jesus or John was affirming. He writes, the Word was with God, and the Word was or is God. Jesus was there at the beginning. Right? Jesus was not created, but rather Jesus was the agent of creation. This affirmation, in a sense, is a litmus test for what is true and what is false belief. You know, what do you say about Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? Was Jesus simply a good man? Was Jesus simply a good teacher? Or is Jesus, God, become man? Now, these verses that we read stress the divinity of Jesus and his equality with God. You know, to the Hebrew, the Word of God was the self-assertion of the divine personality. To the Greek, the formula denoted that the rational mind, that this was the rational mind that ruled the universe. John is asserting that the Word, and the Word is Jesus, is the source of all that is visible and precedes the totality of the material world. But why is this important? Why is this important enough for us to talk about on a Sunday morning? I think it helps us to understand why it is we need, as we are following the way, to apply what we know, apply what we are told. Now, first of all, I think it helps us to distinguish truth from fiction, truth from deception. You know, there's a great deal of false teaching all around us, and we're not going to recognize the false teaching and deception unless we take the time and energy to know what is true. That's why it's so important to be, you know, in the Word. And again, just to throw out just another commercial for reading through the Bible, right? Knowing who God is, seeing the totality of what God says. Theology, in a sense, can become a little bit like politics. You can affirm anything, even if it's not true, and if you say something loud enough, often enough, and creatively enough, you can get people to vote for you, or you can get people to believe what you say. You don't have to be true. You don't really have to be saying anything. You just need to sound convincing. And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. There are lots of people teaching about the supernatural world. It's not a matter of which teaching you like, however. The question is, which one is true? For example, there's this well-known argument for the faith called Liar, Lunatic, Lord. It was first written by C.S. Lewis, and the same person who wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Lewis makes this claim that Jesus could have only been one of three things. Right, you say he's a good teacher, you say he's a good man, or do you say he's God? There's only three answers to that question. So the first answer would be, well, Jesus must have been a liar. Right? Was Jesus someone that knew he was lying? Was Jesus deceiving people when he called himself God? Was he intentionally leading people astray when he said that eternal life is found in him and in him alone? That we have eternal life by entrusting our lives to him. In fact, I don't think this makes Jesus simply a liar. I mean, this makes Jesus a devil. Saying that he was the truth, all the while knowing that he was a lie. Not only that, but he would have led countless people to their deaths because they believed that he was God. But does this jive at all with what we understand about Jesus, right? Universally, people will say he's a good man. Universally, they'll say he's a great teacher, someone who loved and showed so many a better way to live. So it doesn't really seem like Jesus could be a liar. So if Jesus wasn't a liar, then surely Jesus must have been a lunatic. Right? Because someone who says that they're God when they are not are either lying or they're crazy. To believe yourself to be the Son of God is like me saying that I am secretly the President of the United States. I just happen to be hanging out in Beaver County, because this is where all the cool people are at. But again, so many people revere him as this incredible teacher. And you do not get countless followers. You do not get this reputation that lasts for centuries. People who follow him to their deaths. His followers certainly didn't perceive him as crazy, these men and women who followed them. And so if Jesus wasn't a liar, and if Jesus isn't a lunatic, then all that leaves is that Jesus is Lord. And if Jesus is Lord, we need to do all that we can to listen to him and to follow his commands because he is Lord. And you've got to think deeply before you can make such a determination. Right? The personality of the speaker should never overshadow what they're teaching. We've got to think clearly and deeply as we seek to apply what God says to us. Secondly, looking at these truths show us what is important. Show us that what is important is to get to know Jesus, God in human form. Now, if Jesus really is the eternal God, manifest in a human body, we should want to spare no effort in getting to know him. Now, think about the Old Testament days where God manifesting himself in black and white on this small, fuzzy screen where you got to kind of squint to see what's going on. But when Jesus comes, now we see God in this great, big, giant screen in high-definition clarity. Because if Jesus is Lord, then we should listen very carefully to what he teaches. If Jesus is Lord, we should stay close to him and work hard to know him as best we can. To know Jesus is to know God. And when the Son of God says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Right? We should be coming running at Jesus. We should come running to this offer. Thirdly, this truth helps dispel our fears. You know, we're afraid of things because they seem like they're out of control. At times we live our lives and things just are out of control and we look around at a world. I mean, like, who doesn't look at 2022? I mean, we could just go down through the list, 2020, 2021, 2022. Where's order? Where's hope? Where's any semblance of control in our lives? It's very easy to look at a world and think, man, everything is lost right now. But the fact that Jesus was God, the Son, in human form means that our God is not distanced and detached. Our God sees us, he knows us, and he can help us. The same God who cast out demons, who healed broken bodies, and who loved broken people is the same one who lives within us through his Holy Spirit. Because darkness, church, cannot extinguish the light. The world will try. My goodness, this morning, as I'm driving to church, I'm talking to Jan. And she says, "Did you hear about what's going on in Illinois?" I'm like, "No, I don't know what's going on in Illinois." In these school districts in Illinois, there are Satan clubs. Because these schools have a good news club, a Christian evangelism fellowship club, these schools also have to allow Satan clubs. So the Church of Satan has clubs in these schools to speak against God's truth. The enemy's going to try. And the enemy's going to try hard. But right as Paul wrote, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Right? Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And the better we know, and the better we walk with Jesus, the more our fears will subside. And fourthly, the teaching about the nature of Christ testifies to God's desire to redeem us. You know, I love the Christmas illustration about a family that's going to church on Christmas Eve, and Dad refused to go to church that Christmas because he said the whole thing was nonsense. It just doesn't make any sense to me that God would become a man. And so as the family goes off to church, he's sitting in his easy chair watching reruns on television when he notices a blizzard that whips up, and maybe it's like Sunday night, tonight, you know, we got this blizzard coming in and it's cold, and he recognizes his family hasn't gone far, and so he's not too worried about them. But a little while later, he hears these thuds on the window pane, and it happens several times, and it's almost as if somebody's throwing snowballs at his window. So the next time a thud appears, he's ready. He whips open the curtains, and it wasn't snowballs, but it was birds. Right? They saw the light that was streaming through the curtains, and so they were hopeful and looking for a place of safety and warmth. And so the man's heart began to ache for these birds, and so he decided that he was going to go outside, he was going to open up his barn so that they could get out of the storm. So he bundles up, and he goes outside in the cold, and he opens up the barn for the birds, but the birds didn't see him. And so he saw the bird, and he comes running to them, but as he comes running to them, they fly away. They're afraid. They don't know what's going on. They were frightened and maybe even a little bit annoyed at this guy who came running at him. And that's when the man says to himself, you know, if only I could become a bird for a little while, I could lead them all to safety. And that's when the church bells rang. And the man suddenly realized that this is why Jesus came to earth. That Jesus came to lead us to safety, to lead us to forgiveness, and to a new life. He knew that the only way to connect with us and to pay the penalty that was amassed by us was to come and be one of us. And Jesus, the man, had surrendered his life to the Lord on the spot because his eyes were opened to the wonder and the majesty of the power of the gospel. Church, the same thing will happen to us when we grasp the reality of who Jesus is. Because Jesus is not merely a good man in history who taught. It's a time where we recognize and celebrate and worship this God who would enter into our world for the sake of our salvation. And this is the question that John presents to us. You know, who are you following? Because who you're following will affect on what you're applying. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God who has come into our world, shouldn't we apply what he says? Shouldn't we live out what God asks us to do? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for your presence here with us today. Jesus, we pray that our eyes would be opened to the reality of who you are. That, Jesus, we would recognize your presence. That we would recognize your lordship. That, Jesus, we would yield our lives to you. Jesus, we would yield our decision-making to you. We pray that you would help us follow you better and better each and every day. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen. It's kind of like us trying to live, trying to be righteous in ourselves. We can try, we can try, we can try. And we might get a good 30 minutes where we are living righteously. But church, none of us will ever earn salvation. None of us will ever deserve salvation. Now, salvation comes through Jesus, the one who came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. If salvation comes through Jesus, you know, we owe Jesus our lives. We owe Jesus our eternal lives. He is safe to follow. Jesus is safe to follow and will not lead you astray. So let us follow him. Gracious God, again, we are grateful for your presence here with us today. Jesus, we pray that we become different every time we come in contact with you. And Jesus, when we are challenged by you, we would trust in your goodness. Jesus, we pray that you will continue your wonderful work, your sanctifying work within us, dear God. Continue to call us, continue to perfect us. Jesus, help us to look like you to a world that desperately needs warmth and light. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for loving us, and it is in your name we pray. Amen.